Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to the book of Judges. We're in chapter 13, beginning the story of Samson. Judges chapter 13, this is God's word. "Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, so the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. A certain man of Zorah named Manoah from the clan of the Danites had a wife who was sterile and remained childless. The angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, 'You are sterile and childless, but you are going to conceive and have a son. Now see to it that you drink no wine or other fermented drink and that you do not eat anything unclean, because you will conceive and give birth to a son. No razor may be used on his head, because the boy is to be a Nazarite, set apart to God from birth, and he will begin the deliverance of Israel from the hands of the Philistines.' Then the woman went to her husband and told him, 'A man of God came to me. He looked like an angel of God, very awesome. I didn't ask him where he came from, and he didn't tell me his name, but he said to me, "You will conceive and give birth to a son. Now then, drink no wine or other fermented drink and do not eat anything unclean, because the boy will be a Nazarite of God from birth until the day of his death." Then Manoah prayed to the Lord, "Oh Lord, I beg you, let the man of God you sent to us come again to teach us how to bring up the boy who is to be born." God heard Manoah, and the angel of God came again to the woman while she was out in the field. But her husband Manoah was not with her. The woman hurried to tell her husband, "He's here, the man who appeared to me the other day." Manoah got up and followed his wife. When he came to the man, he said, "Are you the one who talked to my wife?" "I am," he said. So Manoah asked him, "When your words are fulfilled, what is to be the rule for the boy's life and work?" The angel of the Lord answered, "Your wife must do all that I have told her. She must not eat anything that comes from the grapevine, nor drink any wine or other fermented drink, nor eat anything unclean. She must do everything I have commanded her." Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, "We would like you to stay until we prepare a young goat for you." The angel of the Lord replied, "Even though you detain me, I will not eat any of your food. But if you prepare a burnt offering, offer it to the Lord." Manoah did not realize that it was the angel of the Lord. Then Manoah inquired of the angel of the Lord, "What is your name, so that we may honor you when your word comes true?" He replied, "Why do you ask my name? It is beyond understanding." Then Manoah took a young goat together with the grain offering and sacrificed it on a rock to the Lord. And the Lord did an amazing thing while Manoah and his wife watched. As the flame blazed up from the altar toward heaven, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame. Seeing this, Manoah and his wife fell with their faces to the ground. While the angel of the Lord did not show himself again to Manoah and his wife, Manoah realized that it was the angel of the Lord. "We are doomed to die," he said to his wife. "We have seen God." But his wife answered, "If the Lord had meant to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and grain offering from our hands, nor shown us all these things, or now told us this." The woman gave birth to a boy and named him Samson. He grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him while he was in Mahanadan, between Zorah and Eshtol. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Well, as I said, this is just the first installment of our study of Samson's life. But as we look at this, we see a number of things. The first being something we've emphasized over and over in our study of the book of Judges. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. What matters is not the opinion of others. What matters is what God says. If everybody on earth votes for it, and God says no, the answer is no. Everybody on earth is wrong. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many travel thereon. Narrow is the way that leads to life, and few people find it. So the Israelites, again, everyone did what was right in his own eyes, but it was evil in the eyes of the Lord. They did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and so the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. That's a whole generation. For 40 years. Look at the previous verses we studied last time, and you see that in chapter 12, verse 7, Jephthah led Israel 6 years. Ibzan led Israel for 7 years. Elon led Israel 10 years. Abdon led Israel 8 years. Israel had had leaders who kept them pretty much on the right path, one after another, after another, after another. But then they entered a period of sin. They decided, you know, life's pretty good. We don't have to keep the rules. I think we've been too uptight about stuff. I think we just need to relax a little bit and do what we feel like doing. Well, that didn't go well for them. And God handed them over to the Philistines for 40 years, longer than they'd had those four judges all added together. You and I cannot predict the future based just on how things have been going lately. History doesn't work like that. God doesn't work like that. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. But if we think we can just keep on doing what we've been doing, everything going the way it's been going, you know, see, my problem is, I really wish those people would repent, don't you? I mean, I look out and I see what other people are doing wrong, and I think, boy, that's just disgraceful. They need to repent. That isn't what God says. God says, if my people will repent, if my people will humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways, seeking his face, then God will heal our land. Well, but you know, I mean, this is America. Come on. Yeah, it is America. How much history have you studied? God doesn't owe us anything. We've been blessed so far beyond anything that we could have asked or imagined. We've been richly blessed. And so God's people need to be right with God so that whatever is coming, we're walking with him. We're doing his will. We're his ambassadors. The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. The Lord handed them over to the Philistines. It lasted 40 years. And then, as we've seen over and over again, they cried out to the Lord and said, Lord, please have mercy on us. Do you read that in verse 1? No, it's not there. This is a remarkable difference between this and the other passages that we've been reading about previous generations. Here it doesn't say that the people repented. It doesn't say that the people cried out to the Lord. That doesn't mean nobody was praying. Clearly, Manoah and his wife knew the Lord. They were believers. But there's no sign of corporate repentance on the part of Israel. After 40 years of suffering, God didn't send someone who totally delivered them from the Philistines. Notice the promise of the angel of the Lord is that Samson would begin to deliver the people, but the Israelites were going to have to suffer at the hands of the Philistines for a long time to come. But this was going to be the beginnings of progress. This was going to be an opportunity for God to display his power to his people and generate faith in more of his people. God is not looking for a chance to punish us. The devil wants us to think that God is standing there with a stick just looking for somebody to sin so that he can hit them. That's not true at all. Doesn't mean that sin doesn't have consequences. Doesn't mean that sin isn't deadly. But folks, after 40 years, God intervened. And he did something absolutely amazing. He came again, as he does repeatedly in Scripture, to someone who couldn't have children and said, I'm going to give you a child. Sarah, the mother of Isaac. Rebecca, the mother of Jacob. Hannah, the mother of Samuel. Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. Over and over and over, God says, I'm going to do this. Because our deliverance doesn't depend on us. It depends on God's intervention miraculously. And so, the angel of the Lord appears to her and says, it's true that you're sterile and childless, but you're going to have a son. Now see to it that you drink no wine or other fermented drink and that you do not eat anything unclean, because you will conceive and give birth to a son. No razor may be used on his head, because the boy is to be a Nazarite, set apart to God from birth, and he will begin the deliverance of Israel from the hands of the Philistines. I want you to see that this is not a situation where God says, if you do this, I'll do this. There are situations like that. But this is really more indicative of the pattern of the whole of the Bible. And that is, we don't do something to get God to do something. We learn to do what God says because of what God has said and because of what God has done. If you are trying to find the magic combination so that if I do this and if I do this and if I don't do that, then God, will you do what I want? You're still trying to run God. You're still trying to be God. Quit it. Repent. Look at what God has done and say, okay, Lord, what would you have me do? We need to be responding to what God has graciously done, not trying to manipulate God into doing what we want. So, God tells us, I've done this. I'm going to do this. You need to do this. God said, these are the parameters. This is what you're to do. Even before he's born, you're to be living this way. And so the woman went to her husband and told him, a man of God came to me. He looked like an angel of God. Very awesome. The first word that an angel speaks 90% of the time in the Bible, don't be afraid. Why? Because when people see angels, the almost universal response is to be terrified. And it's not just when they suddenly appear. I mean, in Gideon's case, it was an angel sitting under a tree. Gideon notices him and is like, but angels can take on a human appearance. We know this because in the book of Hebrews, we're told to be sure and be hospitable to strangers, because many in entertaining strangers have ended up discovering that they had entertained an angel without realizing it. So angels can sometimes go incognito into the culture. But if you see an angel who looks like an angel, not going to be incognito. It's like, yes, sir. This lady tells her husband, a man of God came, and he had a message for me. He has a miracle message. He says, I'm going to have a baby, and that we're to raise this child as a Nazarite. There were instructions in the book of Numbers about how Nazarites are supposed to live. And she says, this messenger looked like an angel. He was awesome. And the response of Manoah and the response of his wife is a response of faith when they hear God's word. Look at what Manoah says. Then Manoah prayed, verse 8, prayed to the Lord, O Lord, I beg you, let the man of God you sent to us come again to teach us how to bring up the boy who is to be born. That's how we need to respond to the word of God. It's okay to have questions, but the questions need to be not, how can I be sure? The questions need to be, in light of what you said, can you give me more information about what you want me to do? You see, again, we need to be responding to what God is doing, not trying to do in order to get God to respond the way we want. And if our questions are about how we can be sure, we're not responding in faith. If our question is, Lord, I believe what you say, please tell me more about what you would have me to do, God will answer that. The Lord heard Manoah. And the angel of God came again to the woman while she was out in the field, but her husband Manoah was not with her. Now, I find that interesting. It's not a pivotal point, but Manoah prays this prayer. The angel could have come while they were together, but instead, Manoah prays this prayer, and so the angel appears again to her when Manoah's not there. And so the woman hurried to tell her husband, he's here, the man who appeared to me the other day. So Manoah got up and followed his wife, and when he came to the man, he said, are you the one who talked to my wife? I am, he said. That's powerful, isn't it? I am. So Manoah asked him, when your words, not if, when your words are fulfilled, what is to be the rule for the boy's life and work? And the angel of the Lord answered, your wife must do all that I have told her. She must not eat anything that comes from the grapevine, nor drink any wine or other fermented drink, nor eat anything unclean. She must do everything I have commanded her. Please notice, obedience is not something that's recommended. It's something that's commanded. She's told, you must do what I've commanded. Even before this child is born, you're to be fulfilling these commands. So Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, we'd like you to stay until we prepare a young goat for you. And the angel of the Lord replied, even though you detain me, I will not eat any of your food, but if you prepare a burnt offering, offer it to the Lord. Offer it to the Lord. Manoah didn't realize that it was the angel of the Lord. So Manoah inquired of the angel of the Lord, what is your name so that we may honor you when your word comes true? He replied, why do you ask my name? It is wonderful. I thought the text said it's beyond understanding. Look at your footnote. It says it can be translated wonderful. Why is that important? Because if you look in Isaiah, when Messiah is being introduced, his name shall be called wonderful. So, Pastor, are you saying that this is an appearance of the pre-incarnate Christ? I believe so. I believe very definitely so. God has many angels, but the angel of the Lord is the Son of God manifesting himself prior to the birth of Jesus. Well, I'm not sure that all theologians would agree with you. Oh, I'll spare you the search. Not everybody would agree. Lots do agree. I'm just telling you, I believe that based on this and other things in the Old Testament about the angel of the Lord. This passage is one of the passages that points to Jesus showing up before he was Jesus. Okay? The Son of God, the eternal Son of God, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, the one who prays in John's Gospel, Father, glorify me with the glory that I had with you before the world began. Okay? The angel of the Lord appears. And Manoah, when he realizes that's who this is, he jumps to the wrong conclusion but based on realizing something that's true. He says, when he realizes this is the angel of the Lord, verse 22, "We are doomed to die," he said to his wife. "We have seen God. We have seen God." Manoah was wrong about the consequence of God's revelation, but he was right about who he'd just seen. He had encountered God in a way that was absolutely extraordinary. So, they prepare the sacrifice. They offer it up. Verse 19, Manoah took a young goat together with the grain offering, sacrificed it on a rock to the Lord. And the Lord did an amazing thing while Manoah and his wife watched. As the flame blazed up from the altar toward heaven, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame. Wow. Seeing this, Manoah and his wife fell with their faces to the ground. Why? Because they just realized who this is. And when the angel of the Lord did not show himself again to Manoah and his wife, Manoah realized that it was the angel of the Lord. And he thought, we're going to die. If we were to go and try and go into the tabernacle of the Lord and go into the Holy of Holies, we would be struck dead. And that's true, they would. If you try to get to God on your terms, you're not going to make it. But when God comes to us, he comes to save. He comes to heal. He comes to deliver. And so, Manoah's wife gives good, wifely, biblical counsel. His wife answered, "If the Lord had meant to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and grain offering from our hands, nor shown us all these things, or now told us this. Remember, he said, I'm going to have a baby, and we're supposed to bring him up this way? So we're not about to die. He didn't come to kill us. God's not looking for an opportunity to destroy us. God has come and graciously told us what he's going to do in order to begin to set us free." And so the woman gave birth to a boy and named him Samson, and he grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him while he was in Mahanadan between Zorah and Eshtol. God always keeps his promises. He always does what he says he's going to do. And when this happens, God kept his promise. And this boy, who is going to have one of the most amazing lives in human history, this guy is not going to be, this Samson, is not going to be a role model for the rest of us. Okay? Samson was arrogant. He presumed upon the grace of God time and again. Having done immoral things, having violated what he was supposed to do repeatedly, God continued to use him to bring deliverance to God's people. But it's going to come to a point of tragedy in Samson's life when he's going to realize too late that he's gone too far. And when that happens, and he suffers so horribly, God isn't finished with him yet. Just so you know. The Spirit of the Lord began to stir in him. That's what's going to make the difference. And when Samson blows it and ends up losing almost everything, Samson didn't say, okay, I'm going to work out and I'm going to get back strong and I'm going to get this done. He prayed and he said, Lord, would you please allow me to do this? And God gave him the greatest victory of his life against the Philistines at the end of his life. Even after we've messed up, even after we've blown it, it's not too late to go to the Lord and say, God, have mercy on me. I'm yours. I know I can't do it in my power, but I want you to do what you want with my life. I'm yours. Have you gotten to that point?
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.